Amen. Well, normally I would just say, let's just pray for one another and get started. But I've got a few things I do want to share for you. Thanks, Brad, for sharing that. Really excited to be here this morning. You guys know we're in a series called Profiles of a Disciple. This is part 6. And we're just so excited that we're still following the same vision and same mission statement that we have for 30-something years, and that is making disciples who make his way known. And we've really tried this year to be extremely intentional about that through all of our messages, no matter what they're titled. But let's just recap real quick the first 5 messages. Disciples love, honor, and obey the word of God. Disciples create a culture of honor. Disciples give time, energy, and money to advance the kingdom of God. Disciples cultivate healthy relationships. Disciples walk in excellence and let their light shine. And today is part number 6, and it's entitled, Disciples Produce Fruit That Glorifies Our Father. And we get that from John 15:8. And I'm going to be talking out of John 15 a lot, just different verses. So if you guys ever get the chance, please read John 15, because it spends the whole chapter talking about fruitfulness and how to be fruitful in our relation to the Father and our relation to one another and our relationship to the work of the kingdom. So please look up John 15. But this morning we're going to start in John 15:8, where it says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father. You see, God created us that way. God created us to be fruitful when we all produce fruit, the same fruit, which we'll talk about, but it looks a little different in each and every one of us. And you have something special that God really wants you to shine out of in your fruit. So disciples produce fruit that glorifies our Father. So what does that even mean, being fruitful? I mean, we're people. How can we be fruitful? And it's more than just making fruit. It's about being fruitful, full of fruit in abundance, abundantly productive. It's not just a one and done deal when you're with Jesus. Now, when we think of fruit, we think of things like peaches and apples and grapes and strawberries, whatever your favorite fruit is, in the physical. So we kind of get the picture. Grows on a plant, right? Grows to maturity. It's good to eat. We understand the concept of fruit. But what does that mean biblically? What is God talking about when he says, be fruitful? We even see it even starting all the way back in Genesis when he's talking to Adam and Eve, and he says, be fruitful and multiply. This is an original concept. It's an original thought of God towards man. Well, let's see what it says in the Bible. In Galatians, you see, look at verse 5, 22 through 23. It says, fruit of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there's no law against these things. And I know we've heard that taught a lot. We've heard about the fruits of the Spirit, and it's just this nice little list of things that, yes, those are great. And I love it when people treat me with those fruits, when I'm being related to out of the fruit of the Spirit. But God calls us to do that, so we're going to get into more of that. But yet there's more. There's other kinds of fruit. Right before this scripture in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, we're going to talk about what is called the fruit of the flesh. So there's more than just good fruit. 519 through 21 says this, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy and outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that's not a very fun list. This is the part where we all squirm just a little bit. It's like, oh, I might be a part of that camp. I might have actually exercised some fruits of my own flesh or my sinful nature, as the Bible calls it. So which is it? How do we know what we have? Are we operating in the fruits of the Spirit or the fruits of the flesh? I dare say we do a little bit of both, because we all have those days when we're not doing what we want to do. And how do we tell the difference? But you know, Christians, in your spirit, you know when it's the fruit of the flesh, because it makes you feel kind of yucky inside, right? But how can you really tell what you're up to? Well, this is how Jesus says it. Look in Matthew 7, verses 16 through 20. You can identify them by their fruit. He's talking about disciples. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so can you identify people by their actions. And so that's where Jesus makes it plain. We are to judge ourselves, not others, I might add, by our actions. Okay? So am I producing good fruit, or am I producing bad fruit? And when do we do that? I have this phrase, we all say it, well, something pushed my buttons and bad fruit just came all out of me. Sorry, but it happened. Why is that? Doesn't mean that we're inherently bad, but it may mean that we're not following Jesus as close as we should. That's kind of how my earlier life was, my early married life. In December, Kathy and I will be married 39 years. I look like it, she doesn't. She was 10 when I married her. I was 30. Not really. We were both young, though. I was 21, Kathy was 19. And we're fixing to be married, like I said, 39 years. Do the math, I can't. So, but it's been really good. And Kathy would tell you it's been the best 25 years of her life. Because the first few were not fun. I'm just being honest with you. I was a prodigious producer of bad fruit in my life, in my marriage. I remember Kathy looking at one day and said, "What happened to that nice young Christian boy I married?" I said, "I don't know. I really didn't know." Didn't have an answer. I think the answer now would be I quit following Jesus. And there was a lot of collateral damage. My wife, my kids, they all suffered. And then we had a tragedy, and that just compounded things in my life and gave me an excuse to really go off the deep end. But God still found me. But God still loved me. But God saved me once again. But I was a producer of bad fruit, so I understand that side of it. Amen? But don't quit on me now. Now, guys, let's not sit here and wallow in our past. Amen? My past, your past. Look at these lists and say, "Well, I'll always be a producer of bad fruit." That is simply not true. We're here today to say there's light. There's answers. You do not have to be the way you are if there's things you want to change. I say it like this. I believe that if you're a believer, you produce good fruit. You can't help it. Now, you may not be as productive as you want to be. You may not have as much fruit as you want to have, but it's there. So let's go on that premise. We all produce some good fruit. So can we, if that's the case, and I truly, truly believe that it is, because even back then I had moments of light, okay? But can we all agree this morning that we'd like to have more good fruit? Can y'all agree with me in that? I want more good fruit, even today, because I've still got a way to go. So let's go back to that key truth from Galatians, and let's take a little pressure off ourselves, because for a while I tried to make good fruit happen. I'm an American. I can do this. I can make good fruit. That's not true. The Holy Spirit produces fruit in our lives. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit. And why do we even want good fruit? Okay, well, there's three reasons I wrote down pretty simply, because it makes life easier. My life was so much easier when I was in good fruit and not in bad fruit, led by the Holy Spirit. And then what else did John 15:8 say? It said, makes us disciples. We know that we're disciples. We're followers of Jesus. And thirdly, it glorifies our Father. When I have good fruit, it really glorified the Lord. Shows him off. See how those three things alone exemplify God. It illustrates to us who he is simply by bearing good fruit. But what does that look like to Jesus? How would he say that? Back to John 15 again, verses 1 through 4. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that can't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the measure I have given you. Message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Now, Jesus speaks a little bit in a riddle there, but plainly he's saying, if you stay connected to me, you will be fruitful. If you are disconnected from me, you will not be fruitful. And that's where I had found myself, disconnected more than connected. But let's put all that, let's tile that up into a little phrase. Fruitfulness is a natural byproduct of following Christ. You don't have to make fruitfulness happen. You just got to follow Jesus. There's nothing you can do to be fruitful, okay, other than follow Jesus. Be connected to the vine. Be the man, the woman, the believer that he's called us to be, because he desires that. Well, if there's nothing we can do, what really is our role? Do we have a role at all, or can we just sit back and go, thank you, Jesus, I'm fruitful? No, there's actually something we have to do. We have to play our part to be connected. We have to find ways to stay connected. So, for example, fruitfulness is most productive in good soil. Okay? You're not going to find yourself in bad places hoping to be fruitful. So you've got to find yourself in good soil, even at home. And fruitfulness only happens when you're connected to the vine, connected to Jesus. And fruitfulness happens when the plants mature. You have to work towards this. You can't connect one day, disconnect for a month, and hope that you mature fruit. You might start some fruit, but then it's on pause until your maturity picks back up. Amen? And remember, there's no law against fruitfulness, so don't make any excuses. And the bottom line, I believe, that fruitfulness is for others. It feels good to us, but maybe we need to begin to see how fruitful feels to others. Don't you like being around people that are fruitful, that experience those aspects of fruit, those good things that Jesus naturally produces in us? That's what I like. And I found people liked being around me more when I was fruitful, including Kathy. It's amazing. Okay, so if that's the case, if it really is not just about us, if it's about others and being able to present the gospel to others, remember what they told the apostles in Acts? They said, man, we don't know who these guys are. They don't even seem educated, but this one thing we know, they've been with Jesus. Man, I want people to say that. I want them to say, he's been with Jesus. And how do they know that? Because they see the fruit. They see the fruit in my life. So maybe we need to look at our view of connection, our relationship with God, just a little bit different. Just in a way that says, I want to connect to you because I want to be like you. I want to look like you. Amen. We can start asking this question. What can God do through me instead of what can God do for me? And we all start there. I get that. We're all hurting when we find Jesus most of the time because we didn't have him. So it's like, Jesus, save me. I want to go to heaven. But there's so much more. We get to this place of maturity. We get to this place of fruit where you can begin to see the concept of Jesus doing things through me. You're strong enough. You're mature enough to do that. And that's the way I found myself in my marriage. It got stronger. It got better. There was forgiveness. There was healing. And now I have a great marriage. People come up to me occasionally and say, man, I want a marriage just like yours. I said, well, good for you, because I have an awesome marriage. But let's talk about how to not get there. Don't go through what we did. Let me share the whole story, because that's worth hearing and it's worth avoiding. Amen. But that's when the good fruit started coming and Kathy could begin to trust me. And that was the application of good fruit in our lives. So how do we do that? How do we apply it? Just like I had to apply it. How do we produce this good fruit? Because sometimes it feels a little elusive, but I think we're actually making the process harder than it needs to be. I know I was. John 15, our favorite verse, chapter 16, John 15, 16. Jesus said this, you did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. And this I command you, that you love one another. Well, that worked for me. It worked for my life. He made it plain, Jesus did. In fact, he commanded. He said, love one another. Oh, and I have to bear fruit to do that? The kind of fruit that remains, not the kind that evaporates every time there's a hot day and the pressure's on? Yes, there's fruit that remains, and you will be able to love one another. So what we find in our lives, there's real world examples of fruit in our lives. What does that look like for you? I don't know. But we know the fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. People love that. And you'll learn to walk that way. It will become your way because it's Jesus's way, and it will become first nature to you, not second nature. It will become first nature. And the deeds of the flesh will become second nature to you, or third or fourth, or to the place where they don't exist. You don't have outbursts of anger anymore. When something used to would have made you angry, you now are walking in the fruit of the Spirit. And you know what? This keeps changing. Just last week, the Lord challenged me very sternly, to put it mildly. He challenged me to be more kind. He said, you really need to be more kind to people. And I responded, not kindly. And I said, well, I thought I was a nice guy. Well, you may be, but you're not being kind to some people. Well, it kind of hurt my feelings. But he was right. Because see, how we treat others really, really matters. And so God picked that one fruit to me and said, you're not kind to some people. So I'm working on that. I'm not even sure what it means yet, but you know what? That's okay. He'll show me. And I know when that rears its head, I'll see it and go, oh, that's what God meant. And I'll deal with it. And that's the way of growth. That's the way of maturity. That's the way of the kingdom and fruit. We just have to be ready to embrace more growth and more maturity. So think about those things. How does that apply in your real life, in your natural life, in your family, in anybody that's around you? What does that look like? Or sometimes it's better to say, what does that feel like? Does that feel good? That might be a fruit of the Spirit. Does that not feel good? Probably not. I've never exercised truly in the fruit of the Spirit and felt bad about it. I've never received the fruit of the Spirit and wished I hadn't of. Man, I wish they wouldn't be so nice to me. It's just wrong of them to treat me so good. We don't ever say that. We want it, but we don't ever say it. So we're going to start thinking about how do we analyze, how do we grow up in the things of the Spirit. So right here, I want to talk about two different things, because I think it's important to make a big distinction and not to get mixed up. There's a big difference between spiritual fruit and spiritual gifts. We talk about gifts a lot. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, different types of giftings, but they're all in there. I want you to understand, because at this point you could start saying, yes, I'm going to work on my gift of wisdom. No. We're talking about fruits today. So here's the distinction. Spiritual gifts are distributed by God as he wills. Okay, wisdom, faith, healing, administrations, all those gifts. They are a result of the empowering of the Spirit, and they give us the ministry of Jesus. They are truly Holy Ghost power. Amen? But they are gifts, and as such, by definition, given to us. So don't get sidetracked on gifts today. That's another sermon. Spiritual fruit, on the other hand, is, like we said, a natural byproduct of following Christ. It is a result from the indwelling of the Spirit the moment you get saved. It develops in us the character of Christ. Don't those fruits sound like the character of Jesus that we're trying to be? That too is Holy Ghost power. But it's what's in us. It's how God made us to be. And you know what? You don't have a choice. It's inherent. It's just if you choose to walk in them or not. And you don't just get some and not others. It's not like giftings. Again, it's all the fruit. You don't get to say, well, I have patience, but, you know, I don't have to have kindness. My personal favorite lately. I have some of them, but I don't even need those other ones. That's just not true. It's all the above. It's the full meal deal. It's a package deal. You get the fruits because you're connected to the vine. You don't have to manufacture anything. You don't have to make anything up. And here's a really big deal. Check this. You don't have an excuse to not be fruitful. Are y'all hearing me? You don't have an excuse to not be fruitful. If you're a believer and you're connected to Jesus, you will be fruitful. So you have to embrace that. You can't say, I have one and not the other. It's all of them. And how do I know that? Because when I look at all those spiritual fruits, I think that's exactly what Jesus looked like. That's exactly what Jesus looked like. So we get them all. Think of it like this. Think of it like a fruit salad. Don't y'all just love fruit salad? And you look in that bowl and you go, man, I don't even know what's in there. But I like it all. And that's what having spiritual fruit is. You get everything. You get them all. And there's a reason God wants us to have them all. Amen? And that's what it's really about. And the reason that it looks different in people, again, it's not gifting, it's fruit. But the way I practice kindness may be different than the way you practice kindness. The way you practice your fruit looks different because of the people you're around, because of who you are, because of your personality. But it's all the same fruit. But God called you to produce your fruit your way, because your fruit is what influences others. And they understand that. So you can rest in that identity. You can rest in your fruit in the way God made you, in the way God wants you to show off your fruit. Okay, so we've got to this place where we're ready to produce fruit. We have a little bit of grasp on what we're talking about. We're trying to look like Jesus, trying to be like him, look like him. So what do we do with all this fruit? Well, it's pretty simple to me. It's super simple. Number one, just two things. Number one, produce abundantly. That's the definition of fruitful. And number two, give away liberally. You will not, I promise, run out of fruit as long as you're connected to the vine. Because what did Jesus say? He prunes you so you can be more productive. I think when he's telling me to be kindness, he's pruning off some unkindness to make room for kindness. I'm not ever going to be unfruitful as long as I'm connected to Jesus, connected to the vine, connected to the source. Amen? So what are we talking about today? Disciples produce fruit that glorifies our Father. So when I'm fruitful, and again, I'm not all the time, comes in measures, but when I am, it glorifies the Father. And the more fruitful I am, by definition, what happens? The more the Father's glorified, the more I prove to be a disciple. And that's really that simple. You see, God has put His Holy Spirit in you. And it's the Holy Spirit that produces the fruit. So if you find yourself today not being as fruitful as you hoped, or as fruitful as you thought what God was offering, or even maybe as fruitful as what God had promised you, if the fruit in your life is not what you want, I challenge you to be a fruit inspector of yourself. I'm so good at inspecting others' fruits. I'm just being honest. And God turns that around on me every stinking time and says, hey, what about you? Looked in the mirror lately? Well, no, I haven't, but I will. Be a fruit inspector. Don't worry about what your intentions are, guys. My intentions are usually really good, but my fruit doesn't always match. Be a fruit inspector of your own lives. And if that doesn't work out, if you don't like what you see, honestly weighed against the picture of Jesus, ask yourself this: if I'm producing bad fruit, what kind of seed am I planting? It really goes all the way back to what kind of seed am I planting. This is Plainview, Texas. We understand that. You're not going to plant a corn seed and hope to get cotton. Doesn't happen. What did it say? You're not going to get grapes from thorn bushes? Not going to happen. So take it all the way back to what kind of seed is in your life. Okay, we're almost done. So we're going to ask ourselves some questions today. Am I fruitful? What kind of seed am I planting? And like the scripture said, do I have fruit that remains, or is it just occasional? You see, does my fruitfulness fit the profile of a disciple? Does it look like I'm a follower of Jesus? If people look at me, are they going to go, yeah, he's been with Jesus? Maybe not a lot, or maybe a lot. Doesn't matter. Have you been with Jesus? Are you connected to the vine? You're at a place where you look more like him and less like you. What did John the Baptist say? I must decrease so he can increase. There's a good picture of fruitfulness. Ask God to show you how you're fruitful. Don't get all sideways on me here and get beat up because you're not fruitful enough. Well, none of us are. Remember, we said we all bear good fruit, but the challenge is we want to bear more good fruit. That's the goal, more good fruit. So we ask God to show us how are we fruitful and how are ways that we can increase our fruitfulness. You're going to discover your character as you go through this process of becoming more and more fruitful. Remember, God gave us His Spirit and fruit to develop our character to look more like Him. So I'm going to have Beck come out. I guess it's Becca. Who's coming out? I have no idea. It is Becca. That's awesome. We're going to sing a song, and I want you to answer these questions, and the altar team is going to come up in just a minute, and here's the altar call. I want to produce more good fruit. What does my personal fruit inspection say? You can deal with that with friends. And the third thing is, if you have no idea what in the world I'm talking about, this is also your chance to find Jesus, to get connected to the vine, to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. If you've been walking through your life going, I'm part of that other list more than I am part of the fruit list, you may just need Jesus in your life today. So when this song's over, you're dismissed. Altar team, you can come on up. Do you want more fruit? Do you want to meet Jesus for the first time? And what does your personal fruit inspection say? Thank you guys for listening. You guys are dismissed after this song. Come and receive prayer.